Okay, today's daf is Shabbos daf Dalet. We left off on daf Gimel Amud Beis. We are at the E by Yisema, about 5, 6, 7, and 8 lines from the end of the page of daf Gimel Amud Beis. We're in the middle of going through. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. And I think that's... What? I think that's it, right? Okay, so what we're in the middle of going through is there was a stira between two brisos. If a person has his hand full of items in his hand and he sticks his hand out, b'chutz, does he have to leave his hand there for the rest of Shabbos, or is he allowed to bring his hand back into the reshus that he is standing in? So we're going to have 6 different resolutions to this stira. We've already seen 3 of the resolutions to the stira. We're going to go through the next 3. Then what we're going to discuss is the sugya of hidbik paspetanur. If a person attaches dough to an oven, so the halacha is hitirul l'radosa. We allow him to do radias hapas, which is normally an isur drabanan, in order that he could avoid the chiyuv chata. So the Gemara is going to have 2 different explanations of what exactly the case would be that he would otherwise be chayiv, and that's why we are allowing him to do radias hapas. Then the Gemara is going to begin a sugya on the bottom of Amud Aleph that's going to go well into tomorrow's daf. The Gemara is going to discuss how you can be chayiv for akira or a hanacha. In the cases of our Mishnah, all of the akiros and hanachos are onto a yad or off of a yad. Normally, in order to do an akira, we assume, you need to pick something up off of an area that's dalet al dalet tfachim. In order to do a hanacha, you need to place something down on an area that's dalet al dalet tfachim. No one's hand is 4x4 tfachim. So how could it be that if the Ani takes something from the Rosh Hashanah and drops it in the Balabais' hand, in the Rosh Hashanah, that he's chayiv? There's no hanacha on the makam of dalet al dalet. And vice versa, if he picks something up off of the Balabais' hand and brings it out into the Rosh Hashanah, there's no akira from a makam of dalet al dalet. So the Gemara is going to have 6 ways to resolve that issue of why it is that we consider an akira and hanacha from a yad, which is not at all a makam dalet al dalet. We're only going to get to the first 2 in today's daf. The next 4 come in tomorrow's daf on daf Hei Amud Aleph. So we left off again at V'ibayis Ema. V'ibayis Ema Liolam Lo Tivshal. Last run line is V'ibayis. So we were suggesting that maybe the issue of if you stick your hand out into another reshus with an item in it, that the steer in the brisa is whether you have to leave your hand there for the entire Shabbos or don't have to leave your hand there for the entire Shabbos. It all depends on whether we're willing to allow you to violate an issur d'rabbanan because we're concerned that otherwise you might violate an issur d'oraisa. If we make you leave your hand there the entire Shabbos, you might drop it and then you're going to violate an issur d'oraisa. So we suggested, ooh, maybe you could prove from there that we don't allow you to violate an issur d'rabbanan in order to save you from an issur d'oraisa, and that should answer the question about radias hapas, that if you put dough on an oven, we shouldn't allow you to violate an issur d'rabbanan in order to save yourself the issur d'oraisa of baking on Shabbos. So says Mar Vibay Semeliel and Lo Tifshot. Now, maybe this has nothing to do with that conversation of radias hapas, but Lo Kasha, and it's not a Kasha, the stira between these two brises. Kan b'shoge, kan b'mezid. The difference between the brisa that says that you're allowed to bring your hand back in and the brisa that makes you leave your hand out there for the duration of Shabbos is the difference between a case where you stuck it out b'shogeg or you stuck it out b'mezid. B'shogeg lo kansua rabbanan. If you did it b'shogeg, we're not going to make a knas that you need to leave your hand there the entire Shabbos. You can bring your hand back in b'mezid kansua rabbanan. But if you did it b'mezid, the rabbanan made a knas on such a person who stuck his hand out b'mezid. Answer number 5. Edi v'edi b'shogeg. Maybe both cases are talking about where you stuck your hand out. B'shogeg. V'hacha b'kansu shogeg atu mezid kamiflegi. And the whole discussion is, did we make a knas for someone who did it b'shogeg atu a case of someone who would have done it b'mezid? Meaning, if you stuck your hand out b'mezid, for sure we're going to make a knas that you have to leave your hand out the entire Shabbos. Question is, when you do the same thing b'shogeg, do we say, you know, we have to apply the knas to a shogeg, lest you come to do it b'mezid as well? So Marisav or Kansu shogeg to mezid, that when they made the knas against the guy who does it b'mezid, they also included someone who does it b'shogeg. Marisav or Lo Kansu shogeg to mezid, and the other brisa assumes that no, they didn't make a knas for anyone who did it b'shogeg. V'e by Yisema, and the 6th and final answer, the Olam Lo Kansu. Really, there's no knas of shogeg to mezid. V'lo Kan la'otza chatzar, kan la'chatzar acheres. The question is, where do you want to bring your hand back into? Meaning you suck your hand out with some items in it into another reshus. Do you want to then transfer it to another chatzar, or do you want to bring it back to the chatzar of origin? So k'dbay minei Rava mirav Nachman, ha'isi yadu malei ha'peros v'tzia l'chutz ma'al l'achzir l'osa chatzar. Rava asked Rav Nachman, if you had a handful of peros and you stuck your hand out, can you bring it back into the same chatzar that you started in? So amalei mutter, he said it's mutter. L'chatzar acheres ma'u, but what about to transfer it into another reshus ayachin, a different chatzar? Amalei aser, he said that's aser. Umayishna, why should there be a difference? So first he said, l'chitechol ala kura demilcha. First you're going to have to measure for me a quart of salt. You're going to have to do something for me before I answer that question. And then apparently he must have measured him a quart of salt, or it was just an expression and he never measured anything for him. And he answered, hasam lo savida makshavaso, hacha savida makshavaso. That the difference between bringing it back to the same chatzar and transferring it to a different chatzar is clearly this person initially wanted to transfer this item from point A to point B. If he's got to bring it back to the same chatzar, his makshava was never fulfilled. He never accomplished anything. And that's why we're going to allow him to bring it back to the same chatzar, because he didn't actually accomplish any transference of the item from one rishus to another. But if he's bringing it into a different chatzar, then he did accomplish what he had set out to accomplish. Mm-hmm. So that expression that he told him, l'chitechol ala kura demilcha, is an interesting expression, that you're going to have to measure for me some salt before I answer any of your questions. In the Hakdama to the Tshuvas Nod B'Yehuda, the Hakdama was written by the Ben HaMechaber. Nod B'Yehuda's son was the one that published it. So he discusses the idea of salt al pi Torah, that salt plays a very, very critical role in Torah's Moshe, in Torah's Hashem, that we find that on every korban, al kor korban chatak rav melech, you need salt on every single korban, and we still at Ayom, we have a practice to have salt on our tables as a zecher to korbanos, and there are many, many other places as well that salt apparently plays a role. The Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin, hu lilmod u b'no lilmod, that if you could learn or your child could learn, but you can't afford to pay tuition for both you and your child. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im hayu b'no zariz u'memulach b'no kodmo. If your son is zariz, he's interested in learning, and he's memulach, and he's salty, then he should learn. So what is memulach? So some change the girsa, memulah. They say it must mean that he's full or something like that. But no, the girsa originally is memulach. So he says melach represents chachma. Salt represents chachma. So chitikra kura demilcha, he's saying kura demilcha, that measure out for me some salt. He's it's a remez to a certain level of bina yisera or chachma yisera that he was telling him. There's actually a New York Times best-selling book called Salt, all about the history of salt and what salt means in different cultures. And there's a lot of Torah in there about what salt means in Judaism. I don't know if he has the Hakdama of the Nod B'Yehuda in there, but he has a lot of other Torah in there. Okay, so Gufa. So going back to the discussion that we just mentioned parenthetically yesterday, if a person attaches dough to an oven, do we allow you to remove that dough from the oven so that you could avoid a chiyuv of baking on Shabbos, or do we say no, you got to leave the dough on the oven? Meaning, the issue is that there's an issur d'oraisa to bake on Shabbos, but there's an issur d'rabbanan to do rediyas hapas, to remove the dough from the oven. It's not like our ovens where you just stick something in the cavity of the oven. They would wrap the dough around this cylinder, this hot cylinder that was the oven, and then they would scrape it off. So that became an issur d'rabbanan. The rabbanan don't allow rediyas hapas. So what if you're the one that put it on the oven? Can you do rediyas hapas in order to avoid an issur d'oraisa chiyuv chatas? Well, what's the case exactly? If you put the bread on the oven b'shogeg, you didn't realize what you were doing, and you still don't realize that you had done anything wrong, leman hitiru. So who's asking the shayla? If you're shogeg, then you wouldn't be asking a shayla. You wouldn't have realized, meaning shogeg means you forget that it's Shabbos, so you don't realize that this is a malacha. So if you're still a shogeg, you're not going to ask any shaylas. No, must be the case is, you originally put it on b'shogeg, and now you realize, oy vey, what did I do? It's Shabbos. So mi mechayev, would a person be chayev a chatas anyway in such a case? V'atnan, kol chayev a chatos, en chayev a nashet itchilas en shkaga, v'sof en shkaga. A person is only chayev a korban chatas if he was shogeg through and through, meaning the entire time that the malacha was happening, he was still unaware of either the fact that it was Shabbos or that this was a malacha. But if before the bread was finished baking, he became aware of what he had done, he's not going to be chayav chatas, meaning it's terrible, it's still an avera, but the technical dinim of chatas require that he be shogeg through and through. So we wouldn't use the terminology that because if he's asking a shayla, it never would be a chiyuv chatas. So ella must be bemazed that the guy put it there bemazed. Well, says Gemara, if that's the case, then kodem shevel deis skila mi bayilei. If he put it there bemazed, it wouldn't say that before he comes to violate a chatas. A chatas is if you do not aver b'shogeg. But over here is mechal shas bemazed. It should be a chiyuv skila. So fourth possibility, I'm Rav Shila li olam b'shogeg. Really, we're talking about a case where it was shogeg. And what was our problem with saying that it was shogeg? How's he asking a shayla if he doesn't even realize he did anything wrong? He's not asking the shayla. Ulamani tiru la acherim. Who do we allow to do the Radiyas Habas? Other people. That someone else sees. I see my friend putting dough in the oven. He forgot that it was Shabbos, obviously. I see he's wearing his weekday clothing and he woke up and in the haze and he starts putting it. And now he left. And now I want to do Radiyas Habas in order to save him from the Isser. So says Ngar Maskevla Rav Sheshes, V'chiyom lo la'adam chate kadesh yizka chavircha. Would we ever allow such a thing? That I'm allowed to do an Isser Drabanan to save him from an Isser Daraisa? We don't tell a person to do an Isser Kal in order to save somebody else from an Isser Chamur. So that can't be a case where we're matir him to take it off of the oven. Ella amar avashi li olam b'mezid. Really the case is the guy did it b'mezid. Ve'ema kodem shevel de Isser Skila. And you're right, you should change the text. The text should read that before he gets to an Isser Skila, he should do Radiyas HaPas. He should take the dough off of the oven. And it's about himself. It's not somebody else who's taking the dough off of the oven. Ravach b'red Rava masin lebehed. Ravach b'red Rava had this taught explicitly that that was the case. That amar aviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviviv Chila, that it was Hitir lo l'radosa, they allow him to take her off of the oven before it comes to an Isser Skila. So you see when he said, by saying that it's an Isser Skila, so you see very clearly that we're talking about a case of mazid. In the Cheshek Shlomo, on the back of the Gemara, he says, and what if it was Bein HaShmashos, would we be Matir? He says, also, Yesh L'stapik L'das HaKolbo, he has a number of Sfeikos. One of his Sfeikos, if I recall correctly, is that what if it was Pesach, and by doing Radiyas HaPas, it's going to become Chametz. Right, so would we be matir in that case as well? Meaning, then he's going to violate Bali Rabbi Matzi, but you allow it to bake if it bakes quickly, so then it's not going to become chametz. So how does that figure into the calculus? Okay, so that's an interesting suffix. The more prominent discussion over here is that the Gemara says, would we ever tell a person to do an averus that someone else would benefit? Well, there's a Gemara in Erevin that sort of says that we do. The Gemara says that if you've provided somebody with produce and you forgot to take trumas and maisers from it, and the fellow is under the impression that you took trumas and maisers from it, and now he's not here anymore, and he walked out of your store with the produce, and you know he's going to be eating it, so he's going to be violating an Isser Tevel, you're allowed to be mafrish, and you should be mafrish trumas and maisers shalom and amukav, though normally the halach is you have to only be mafrish trumas and maisers from produce that's right next to, that's together with the produce that you're being mafrish on. But over here, the produce you want to be mafrish on is already at the other guy's house. So you're allowed to be mafresh from what you have over here. And Isser Drabanan, being mafresh from what you have over here, Chumas Maisos, for the produce that the guy has over there. Why? Because he's going to violate an Isser Tevel, it's an Isser Chamur. So you're allowed to violate the Isser being mafresh, Shalom and Amukav, in order to save him from that Isser Chamur. So the Gemara in Erevin says pretty clearly you're allowed to do small Avera in order to save somebody from big Avera. So Tosas asks the Kasha over here, the Rashba asks the Kasha, everyone asks that Kasha. Now, which is it? Do we say that you don't do a small Avera in order to save somebody from big Avera? Or you do. So Tulsa says, no, there's a big difference between our case and that case. He says, in our case, the Isser was not done by the fellow who's going to do Radiyas HaPas. It's not my fault that you stuck the dough in the oven, so why do I have to do an Avera to save you from it? But if I'm the one that provided you with the produce, like in the case of Erevin, it's my fault you're going to be eating the Tevel, so I better fix it, even if it means that I'm going to violate a lesser Isser. The Rashba, and one of the answers in Tulsa also seems this way, suggests differently. He says, no, it's not about whether it's my fault that you're doing the Avera. It's about whether it's your fault that you're doing the Avera. In the case of the dough on the the oven. Why did you stick dough in the oven? That's your fault. That's your problem. But in the case of the fellow who bought produce from me, he assumed that I'm a frum guy, that I wouldn't sell him untithed produce. It's not his fault. So it's not about whether it's the fault of the person who's going to do the Yisr Kal. It's about whether it's the fault of the person who's doing the Yisr Chamer. What would be the nafkamina if it's nobody's fault? Rav Asher Weiss has a tshuva in Chelek Aleph of Minchas Asher. What happens if you respond to a Hatzalah call on Shabbos, and the first guy to get there realizes there's no Pikuach Nefesh over here, there's nothing, it was all a false alarm. The guy just got, he sneezed and he got scared, he saw a Gemara that he's going to die if he sneezes or something. But there's nothing doing over there. So should you get on the radio and radio to all the other Hatzalah guys, okay, you could stay at the Rabbi's Rasha, you don't have to leave, you don't have to get in your car, you don't have to drive anymore and be Mechal Shabbos. So on the one hand, it's an Isser Kal to get on the radio. On the other hand, it's the other people are going to be driving. That's an Isser Daraisa. Every time they hit the gas, unless they're driving an electric car, every time they hit the gas is an Isser Daraisa. So that's going to be an Isser Chamur. So should I do the Isser Kal in order to save them from Isser Chamur? So says Rav Asher, it depends on this machlokas between Tosfos and the Rashba. It's not my fault that they're driving the car. I got there first, but it's not my fault they're driving. But it's also not their fault that they're driving the car. They're responding to what they believe to be a Pikuach Nefesh. So that's what he's suggested, and maybe totally in that issue. Okay, weiter in the Gemara. Says Gemara, so we gave all these examples in the Mishnah of an Ani violating Hotza'ah by the Ani, or Hachnasa, by the Ani, let's say, taking something from the Rishus Rabim and putting it in the hands of the Balabais in the Rishus Yachid. That's the Ani violating Hachnasa. Or the Ani taking something out of the hand of the Balabais in the Rishus Yachid and bringing it out to the Rishus Rabim. That's the Ani violating Hotza'ah. So says Gemara, but am I chayiv? Why would you be chayiv in either of those cases? Don't you need an akira and a hanacha from an area that's four tefachim by four tefachim, and you simply don't have that over there because you're taking it from someone's hand, and a hand is not four by four tefachim. So as we said, the Gemara is going to have six answers to this question, but only two of them on today's daf. Approach number one, Amar Rabba Hamani Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah must be assuming like Rabbi Akiva. Damar Lobin and Makam Arba Al Arba. Rabbi Akiva holds that you don't need to do an Akira or a Hanacha from a place that's four Tvachim by four Tvachim. That's not a requirement. Ditanan, Azorg Mirshus Yachel, Rishus Yachel, Rishus Ram Be'emtsa. If let's say you throw something from your house to your neighbor's, your across the street neighbor's house, and across it, you throw it right over the street. The street is a Rishus Rabin. So you're throwing from one Rishus Yachel to another Rishus HaYachid, but it's passing through Rishus HaRabim. Rabbi Akiva Mechayev. Rabbi Akiva says Yechayev Ratzah. We don't say that that's called from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid because it passed through Rishus HaRabim. V'cham Potrim. And the Chum say that you're Potter. Why does Rabbi Akiva say Yechayev? Rabbi Akiva Savar Amrinon Kluto K'mishon Chadamya. That even if it's in mid-air, we view that as if it had landed. So even though it only went through the airspace of the Rishus HaRabim, we view that as if it had landed in the Rishus HaRabim. So therefore, really, according to twice. One for being motzi from my Rishus Yachid to the street, and then for being machnis from the street into my neighbor's Rishus Yachid, even though it was all one motion, but there was this hotza'ah and hachnasa. And the Rabbanan Sabi Larmin include the Commission of Chadamya. The Rabbanan say, no, it never rested. And if it didn't rest on a makam dalit al dalit, well, then there's no chiyuv. So it must be that our Mishnah assumes that you don't, like Rabbi Akiva, that you don't require an akira and hanacha on a makam of dalit al dalit, even if there was no makam at all. It was floating in midair. It would be chiyuv. So it says in the name of the Pshitale Rabba the Bekluta Kamishun Chadamya Ubetoch Hasara Pligi. Is it so pashut to Rabba that the whole machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan is about Kluta Kamishun Chadamya, is about whether something that's in the airspace is viewed as if it were resting there? And the machlokas is when it's within 10 tefachim off the ground, that you zip it across the street within 10 tefachim, not that you throw it on a high arc because then it's above 10 tefachim, but that you zip it across the street within 10 tefachim, within 3 feet of the ground. That's the whole case of Amibayu Bayila Rabba. Rabba wasn't so sure that that's what the machlokas Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan was about. The Bayu Rabba actually raised the following shaila. He wasn't sure how to interpret the machlokas Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim in a case when you throw something from one Rishus Yachid to another Rishus Yachid and Rishus Rabim Be'emtza. Rabba asked that there are two possibilities of what they're arguing about. L'mata me'asara pligi Ubaha pligi. Do we say that the whole case is where it went through the Rishus Rabbim within 3 feet of the ground, within 10 tefachim of the ground, and they're arguing about the following? Rabbi Kiva Savar Kluta Kamisha Unchadamya, for Rabbanan Savar Law, I mean Kluta Kamisha Unchadamya, that Rabbi Kiva would say that anything that's in the airspace of the Rishus Rabbim is as if it's resting in the Rishus Rabbim, and the Chum say, no, it's not, meaning which is the way we interpreted so far, we interpreted the Machlokas, but if you were to throw it above 10 tefachim from the ground of the Rosh Hashanah, for sure you'd be patur, because the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim only extends 10 tefachim off the ground. Once you're beyond 10 tefachim from the ground of the Rosh Hashanah, it has a din of a makom patur, so you're going to be patur. It's not going to be considered that you transferred anything through Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Udukuli alma lo yalfinan zorek mimoshit. And according to this way of understanding, everyone, Rabbi Kiva and the Chum, would agree that we do not derive the halacha of throwing from the halacha of passing over the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, because if you pass something from a Rosh Hashanah Yachid to another Rosh Hashanah Yachid, derech Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, even the malame asara, you're definitely going to be chayiv, because that's what they actually did in the Mishkan. They would pass the beams from one wagon to the other wagon over the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So since that's what they did in the Mishkan, you would definitely be chayiv. Now, why didn't they throw the beams? So Rashi over here says, lo yizorkim, lo yiskalkalu, that they shouldn't get ruined if they throw the beams. Other Rishonim say, no, they didn't throw the beams because they were heavy, so it was difficult to throw the beams. Other Rishonim say, bizui mitzvah. You can't just throw around mitzvos. You got to treat it with respect. So for whatever reason, they didn't throw the beams. So is the halacha the same when it comes to passing? So everyone would agree that the halacha is not the same when it comes to throwing as it is when it comes to passing. Oh, Dilmor, maybe there's another way to interpret the Machlokas Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. Maybe Lamalamayud Pligi. Maybe they argue about a case where it's more than 10 tefachim off the ground. Ubaha Pligi, and they're arguing about the following. Rabbi Akiva Savri Yalfinan Zorek Mimoshit. Rabbi Akiva learns that Zorek is the same as Moshit, that if you throw something, it's the same as passing. And if passing over Rosh Hashanah Mischayiv, throwing over Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is chayiv, for Rabbanan Savri, lo yalfin and zorek mi moshit. And the Rabbanan would say that we do not derive the halach of zorek from moshit, and therefore only passing is chayiv, but being zorek is pater. Avalamata me'asara divrei akol chayiv. But according to this understanding, even the Chachamim would agree that if it's within 10 tefachim of the ground, and you throw something across in the airspace of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim within 10 tefachim of the ground, even the Chachamim would agree that you're going to be chayiv. So my time, why? Because I'm reading Kluta Kamisha Unchadamya. Because according to this understanding, the Machlokas, everybody agrees Kluta Kamisha Unchadamya. So again, let's backtrack. What happened over here? Our Gemara is trying to understand why it is that a person is going to be chayiv when he does an akira from a human hand or a hanacha into a human hand. So the Gemara is saying, oh, must be. Rabbah said it must be because we hold like Rabbi Akiva that Kluta Kamisha Unchadamya. So the Gemara says, Rabbah's so sure that that's only Shitas Rabbi Akiva? That might even be Shitas Rabbanan. The Rabbanan might also agree, which really fundamentally shouldn't be a problem. Meaning that should be even better, right? Meaning Rabbah's answer that maybe our Mishnah is assuming Kluta Kamisha Unchadamya is an even better answer if everyone agrees Kluta Kamisha Unchadamya. But the Gemara is just asking, why did Rabbah lock it into being Rabbi Akiva's Shita if Rabbah himself at least entertains the possibility that it's also the Rabbanan's Shita? Says Gemara, holo kasha. Basudi ibai hadir of shitale. Yeah, Rabbah originally was unsure what the machlokas was about, but then he became sure. The sav Rabbi Akiva klut to kamishon chadamia. That Rabbi Akiva is the only one that holds klut to kamishon chadamia. Vidilma hanachu dolabai hakirabai. Says Gemara, but that's still not a good enough source for everything it says in our Mishnah, because all you see from Rabbi Akiva is that you don't need a hanacha in a place that's dalit al dalit. But maybe you still need to do an akira from a place that's dalit al dalit. Because notice, Rabbi Kiva did not say chayiv shtayim. He said chayiv. So it sounds like you're only chayiv for that initial throw into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, even though it never rested in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But maybe you're taka not chayiv for the subsequent going from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim into the next Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So we still don't have a source that you don't need an akira from a place that's dalet al dalet tefachim. So says Gemara, answer number two. Ela Amar Rav Yosef Hamani Rebihi. This must be assuming like the Shita of Rebbe. Well, mm-hmm. Hey Rebbe, what Shita of Rebbe was talking about this? Ile, so two possibilities. Ile Mahar Rebbe, maybe it's the following Rebbe. Titania Zarek V'nachal Gabe Ziz Kolshu. If you throw something that rests on a protrusion that's very tiny, Rebbe Mechayev V'cham Potun. Rebbe says you're Chayev even though
the protrusion is less than 4x4 tvachim. So says Mar, no, Hasan, because you know, come on, Kadabaye, Damrabaye, Hacha, Beilan, Omid, Rishus Yach, Vinofa, Notul, Shusram, Vizark, Vinacha, Nofer, the Rebbe, Sover, Amin, Shadi, Nofa, Basri, Karo, Rabban, Savilar, Mishadi, Nofa, Basri, Karo. No, that was something in a different case. That case of the Ziz culture is you threw it onto a branch, and the branch is less than 4x4 tvachim. But the base of the tree is more than 4x4 tvachim. So because the base of the tree is more than 4x4 tvachim, even though it lands on the thin branch, we view that thin branch as if it were the base, as if it is 4x4 tvachim. But that doesn't tell you anything about not requiring 4x4 tvachim. You do require 4x4 tvachim. The chiddush over there is that the branch counts. Elaha Rebbe. Which shita of Rebbe are we referring to? The following. Titania Zorg Mishusram, Rishusram, Rishus Yachin Be'emtsa. That if you throw from one Rishusram to another Rishusram with the Rishus Yachin in the middle, the reverse case of Rebbe Akiva, Rebbe Mechayev Echam Potin. Rebbe says, Yechayev and Echam say, you're Potin. Vamar Rebbe Yom Shmuel, Mechayev Ayy Rebbe Shtayim. Rebbe says, Yechayev twice. Achas Mishum Otsoa, Viachas Mishum Achnasa. For being Motzi from the Rishus Yachin to the Rishus Rabim, and from the Rishus Rabim to the Rishus Yachin. Alma Lobin Akirvalo and Achal Al Gabi Makom Dalar Al Dalar. Apparently, you don't need it to rest on a makam that's dalit al dalit. Sahayin Marallah, Rav Shmuel, Dami Tervayu, Lo Mechayv Rebbe, El Rishus Yachin Mekura, Dami, and Beis HaKaman Demalia Damia, Avol Sheina Mekura Lo. No, Rebbe was only Mechayv in that case because the Rishus HaYachid that you threw it through had a roof over it. And that's where we say Klu to Kamisha Limcha, because we view the entire house as if it's filled with something. So even though it only went through the airspace, we view it as if it rested there. V'chitei Machinami B'Mekura, maybe you'll say in our mission we're also talking about Mekura. That only works for Rishus Yachid. For Rishus Rabbi Mekura, Michayiv. You couldn't be Chayiv for Rishus Rabbi Mekura. Because Vamar Shmuel Bar Yudah Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Avuna Merav Hamavir Chayvitz Dalet Amos for Rishus Rabbi Mekura. Potter, l'fishen adam l'digle midbar, that since in the midbar the Rosh Hashanah was not Makura, didn't have a roof over it, so any discussion of Hotsa into Rosh Hashanah Makura is not a discussion. There is no such thing as a Rosh Hashanah Makura, and that's why we have a problem with source number two as to where we get the idea in our Mishnah that you could have an Akira and an Anacha from a human hand. And Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with answers numbers 3 through 6. So, Freilich and Purim, everybody. Oh, yeah.